Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome into Morning Invest on this January 6th, 2022. I'm Clayton Morris. Natalie is off today. David's running the show in the control booth, but we've got a jam-packed show for you. Coming up on the show, we're going to be talking about January 6th. Some differing viewpoints. You're actually hearing from Karl Rove, former right-hand man of George W. Bush, and one of the smartest sort of pollsters and Republican operatives out there, says that Republicans need to atone for this, and they need to take ownership of this, and they need to basically call out all of the people that were involved in the quote unquote insurrection at the Capitol. So we're going to dissect a little bit of this January 6th as it relates to Karl Rove and what Republicans are saying. Ted Cruz also coming out yesterday calling it a terrorist attack. So a lot to unpack there on this one-year anniversary of that. We're also going to be talking about school closings because schools are closing across the country. We'll tell you the numbers this morning. Maybe a school is affected near you. We'd love to hear about it in our chat. We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about Jeff Bezos. At a time when Amazon workers are underpaid and demanding better working conditions and working hours, Jeff Bezos goes on a big New Year's Eve disco party that is now coming back to haunt him this morning. So we'll talk about all of that and more. And Djokovic being kicked out of Australia. There's so much to unpack this morning on this January 6th edition of Morning Invest. Are you ready to get uncomfortable? Are you ready to question everything? I was thinking about this last night, actually. While I was sleeping under the stairs last night because I was kicked out of my bed because my 9-year-old was sick, I was thinking, you know, I like the idea of let's get uncomfortable, right? That's some of these stories when you're watching our show might make you uncomfortable, right? It's not going to go down like a syrupy drink, right? It might make you uncomfortable. But also the idea of questioning everything, right? You get spoon-fed all of this mainstream media garbage on a regular basis. Maybe that should be subtitle
it's the core
here.
Of science.
Question everything.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do that. You know, question
still,
everything.
They were still questioning Einstein's theory of relativity.
Yeah, we did that story here on the show, right? That 16 years it took them to. They tried to disprove Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. 16 years it took them, and they finally wrapped up their study and said, "Nope, he was right." So you're going to question Einstein? We should question everything when these mainstream media journalists are telling you what to think every day. Anyway, it's time to get uncomfortable. Let's question everything. Morning Invest starts right now. That's right. Brian Cody says, I was sleeping under the bleachers with Seymour Butts. That's right. That's right. If you're tuning into the post-edited version of this show later in the day, yes, my wife is sick. Natalie's sick. She's off today. We're dealing with a 9-year-old who's been has a stomach bug, and so it's been crazy around our house. And last night I knew that my little girl was going to sleep in my bed, so I was like, I'm not going to sleep there. She can have the whole bed. I'm just going to go, sleep somewhere. So I basically slept like under the stairs, hair like Harry Potter style. I found a random spot in the house and slept there. That's what happened. You know, that's what dads have to do. You just got to get out. Just go. Anyway, hey, we got a newsletter, a daily newsletter, despite the fact that we have a sick co-host today, or she's out today, we still produce our daily newsletter for you every day. So you can check that out by going to morninginvest.com. Morninginvest.com is the place to go. You can subscribe to our daily newsletter. We publish it first thing in the morning. You can be more informed with a little bit of humor. And one of the stories we covered in the newsletter this morning is about Crystal Pepsi coming back. Pepsi is running a competition right now on their Twitter feed that if you use the hashtag like Pepsi or Crystal Pepsi 90s or something like that, and you put up a picture of yourself, they will, if you win, they will send you like a lifetime supply of Crystal Pepsi, which is really healthy if you think about it. Like if it's like things you want like a lifetime supply of, like that's yeah. Not the thing, right?
Here you go. Enjoy.
Do you guys
the
all
story in the newsletter that's got me reeling is Chris Evans, the thought of Chris Evans playing Gene Kelly. I don't know about that.
Well, then that's an idea, by the way. Here is Crystal Pepsi. By the way, you can order, look at this. You can order a collectible rare Pepsi Crystal for $43 or $67 limited edition six pack on eBay. That is unbelievable.
And it's unopened.
Unopened. Yeah. Limited edition. I'm sure that's fantastic for you. Yeah, you're right about that. So Chris Evans, that was one of the things we talked about in the newsletter. Chris Evans, of course, Captain America, came up with this idea to do a Gene Kelly movie where
it was his idea
and where it follows like an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old who's hanging around a movie studio and sees Gene Kelly. And so it's like this relationship between this like 10-year-old and Gene Kelly, and he's going to play Gene Kelly. And I don't know. It's going to be cool. I like Chris Evans. So
I love Chris Evans. He's a great actor, but I just singing and dancing, I just can't picture that.
It's going to be weird.
But I guess Ryan Reynolds can pull it off. Anyone can.
True. All right.
I don't mean Ryan Reynolds. Who's the other one? Ryan Gosling. That's who I meant.
Gosling. Yeah. That's what I thought you meant. Yeah. Get it mixed up. All right. Should we start today? Yeah, let's do this. Let's dive into the news headlines this morning because schools are closing across the country. That's right. A lot of schools are closing across the country, and teachers' unions are saying it's simply not safe to return. Now, in many cases right now, school is being canceled, and in other cases, kids are having to do virtual school, which is crappy at best and awful at worst. Let's not try to sugarcoat this. Virtual schooling is pretty terrible, right? Kids are distracted. They're not getting the same experience. We've seen the statistics on how much of this is setting our children back, almost an entire year of education, really screwing up an entire generation of kids right now. So what in the heck is going on here? Well, teachers are calling in sick from COVID-19 all across the country, and it's prompting superintendents to either move classes online or just close schools altogether. Right now, more than 4,500 schools will be closed this week. That's the highest number this academic year. And on Wednesday, the Chicago Public Schools, the third largest district in the country, canceled classes after the teachers' union said the classrooms presented unsafe conditions. Which, what is that exactly? What is an unsafe condition? Maybe you guys can help me figure out exactly what that is in the chat. I don't know. But I love when we use these vague terms.
Sitting in a cesspool of virality?
Maybe. But like, what? How could you make that more safe, right? Because we've had the flu and we've had kids with runny noses for as long as we've had kids. Right. So what's different here?
Kids are considered carrier monkeys, right? I mean, they get right. And carry everything. Like what are you going to do? You cannot put these kids, like, basically they're wanting to put these kids in like a hospital type setting that is like no germs, no disease. Their bodies aren't going to be able to fight anything off.
So what is unsafe then? I mean, how is it any different than what they were dealing with the flu or meningitis, right?
Well,
I mean, kids
that.
Get you're meningitis.
Yeah, and you're at the beginning of your age, so that's like when you get these things, that's your body learning how to fight disease, to fight viruses. And if your body doesn't get that from an early age to fight that stuff, then you're going to be weaker going into adulthood.
I mean, maybe we should have kids like put on hazmat suits, and that's how it would actually work, maybe. You know, like maybe we could actually have kids like, you know, they put on hazmat suits like these kids in Japan or in China now, where kids are having to wear hazmat suits to go to school. I mean, look at this. How about we just send our kids like this? That'll get them back. That can you imagine?
It's almost like mm-hmm. the Squid Games.
Yeah. Like, okay, kids, ready to go to school? Put on your hazmat suit. Here's how you can learn in a good environment.
Those suits can't be cheap.
Kids, I mean, go out and play with your friends at recess and put on your little hazmat suits.
Yeah.
Everybody, that's how you can go to school.
Just pretend you're from space.
Right. So that's how China's dealing with it.
Wow. It's a circus. And the thing is, it's mostly theater. Like, if you look at like Sweden and stuff, there's absolutely nothing for these kids to be worried about. These kids do not need to be put in a constant state of fear like all the adults are.
Mm-hmm. I think this would actually be great. I think I'm going to send my 5-year-old to school wearing this. Like, she'll just have to, like, Eve, do you have your hazmat suit on? You ready for school? You have your hazmat suit on? Good. Don't forget a mask. Like, now you can, and probably you can even pee right in the suit. Like, just put on a diaper and you just, like, go to school like this.
Bags.
Yeah.
You know, it's like trickle-down economics didn't work, but trickle-down propaganda does.
Yeah, man, maybe it'll trickle into the United States. We can only hope. I'm really hopeful that this is what our kids will have to deal with. Forget virtual schooling. Let's have them go in a hazmat suit. So there is a lot to unpack here, because the Chicago schools closings, and I don't want to derail the conversation by talking just specifically about what's going on with the Chicago school districts right now, because there's a lot to unpack there. But basically, the city leaders there are saying that this vote by the Chicago Teachers Union is an illegal job action. And so the teachers who don't report to work wouldn't get any money, wouldn't receive any pay. So the teachers unions there in Chicago. But, you know, for every Chicago, you have other areas like Atlanta, Milwaukee. They're all shifting to online classes right now. But according to data, children generally aren't becoming severely ill with Omicron. More students are now vaccinated. More teachers are vaccinated. So what exactly are we worried about here? Well, many of the teachers say it's not even about their health. It's about caring for a sick family member at home who might be in close contact. They don't want to then go to school, get COVID from a child, go back home and deal with their elderly grandparent who then might get the virus. I'm sorry, I stepped on you. What were you saying?
No. It's okay. They didn't even really have a risk with the Delta. I mean, and the thing is, like, if people are saying that, then just the people that, you know, are at risk are the ones that need to get vaccinated, not the kids, like, because you're still spreading it with the vaccine. So it just, right. It doesn't make sense anymore. Like, no, when they initially came out and they said, you know, okay, the vaccines are coming out, then everything's going back to normal. It's going to take 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We could all get behind that. But we've mm-hmm. now proven that that is not the case. They don't work. And now we're still putting our kids through this. And it's going to affect them the rest of their lives. Like, this, everything that we're doing to them is not good. It's just theater now.
It's going to affect, we've already seen the data on how, you know, how these kids are going to be affected. A generation of children set back significantly because of this education process. And look, we are now homeschooling our kids. We're in a virtual school situation this week with our kids, and it's a disaster. I mean, like, my 5-year-old, she's kind of half paying attention. She's online doing, like, she's having to learn sentences and so forth. And so she can put together a basic sentence with a period, but it's not perfect. And then it falls on us to be like kindergarten parents, and we didn't get a degree in early childhood development. People get master's degrees in early childhood development. So I know when there are a lot of people out there who are like, hey, just go homeschool your kids. No friggin' way, because I'm not an expert in teaching. Maybe you are. You know, maybe you're an expert who, you got a degree in early childhood development, so you know what they need at every stage of their early development and all of the data and science related to that. I don't know that. I didn't go to school for that. And now I'm being sort of asked to step in and act like that teacher. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. And God knows, we know how many kids were set back because of internet access in the United States, because the infrastructure in the United States is total crap. 12 million kids who didn't have access to internet couldn't do online schooling, have terrible computers. I mean, how are they going to be able to sit there and interact? They don't even know how to use a computer. This is America in 2022.
Yeah. And where are we on the list of education?
Oh, we're really low. In fact, President Trump the other day talked about that. You know, he slammed, was it Candace Owens who was doing that interview with him? And, you know, she was talking about, you know, education. He's like, we're awful. He's like, no. Our education system in the United States is not good. It's very low on the totem pole when you compare it to other countries. So we have a lot of work to do. But right now, the big issue here in all of this, so you might be saying, well, why are we having this big conundrum again in 2022 about school closings? Well, guess what? It comes down to these tests. So now we don't have tests. And again, this is, you know, go back to the lack of testing that started under the Trump administration and continued under the Biden administration, a lack of tests across the board. There are shortages just across the board. And it's affecting our ability to get access for administrators, cafeteria workers, custodial workers, bus drivers, the list goes on and on. So this lack of testing, again, comes back. Schools can't get enough tests to find out if an exposed teacher or student might be infected. Therefore, they could remain in school, right, if they're cleared. But instead, because we don't have tests, they have to go home.
Well, and also, think of this. You've got a margin of error already on the tests themselves. Mm-hmm. How much is that margin of error increased when you let people do it from home? Like, you're asking people to do a medical thing at home.
Yeah, I get
and
that.
Expect good results.
That is a piece of this, right? The at-home, like, antigen test stuff, right? Absolutely. But what about having the nurses at the schools administer these tests? And that's the piece I keep, you know, so it's a twofold problem, right? It's the at-home testing, but it's also the school nurses who could do the tests and who are healthcare professionals who could do it accurately, or at least as accurately as possible, right? It's supposed to be like, what, 10 seconds of touching the nose hole or something like that?
10 swabs across the membrane.
The membrane, exactly. So at least a nurse could do that, maybe more efficiently or better than somebody doing it at home, but they don't have the tests. So it's a moot point, right? Like, they don't have them to do them. And so they can't do them. So instead, what's the solution? We close down the school. So all eyes are going to be on what happens on January 18th, because January 18th is when a lot of the schools were going to bring these students back right after the winter break. They said they would reopen in person after their districts come back. And we'll see. I mean, I don't know if they're going to actually be able to pull this off to be able to get kids back after the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Do you have a child in school right now that's closed? Let us know in the chat if you're dealing with this at home right now. But just brutal. Just brutal. Meanwhile, the CDC is under fire because the American Medical Association on Wednesday criticized the government's guidelines on quarantine and isolation in the United States, saying the guidance was, quote, confusing and risked further spread of COVID-19. So now you have doctors coming out saying, hey, and this is literally the language they use. They're basically like, hey, CDC, can you please think before you speak? The Centers for Disease Control basically stopped short of recommending a rapid antigen test after someone self-isolated for 5 days. And the American Medical Association disagrees with that. They're basically saying overall doctors are saying that the CDC continues to put out wishy-washy, flip-floppy messages. And it's driving medical professionals crazy. Yeah, they have from the beginning.
And the thing is, the really bad thing is a lot of YouTubers, a lot of doctors and scientists have been scrubbed from YouTube based on going against the information the CDC put out that then turned out to actually be wrong. And the doctors and scientists were right. Mm-hmm. So there's been that the whole time, too. So people are like, hey, you're afraid to get misinformation, but you've been getting most of your misinformation from Fauci, from the CDC, from the media, from the Biden administration. That's where the most misinformation has come from. The people that are giving you real information are the ones that are getting taken down and scrubbed from Twitter and YouTube.
And then they come back a few months later and they're correct. And, you know, YouTube and these big institutions, they don't do anything about it. They don't apologize. They don't reinstitute the content or anything. They just let it go. And, you know, they just go quietly and they don't say anything about it. Well, the CDC now is changing guidelines almost on a daily basis, making it increasingly difficult for healthcare professionals to keep up. The CDC last week reduced the recommended isolation period. So for people with asymptomatic COVID test, down to 5 days from 10 days. The American Medical Association is particularly pissed about the lack of testing. Once again, we come back to testing. And they say, quote, let me put up the quote here on the screen from the CDC. They say, oh, that's the wrong one. Sorry about that. Where is that? Well, maybe I don't have it. Thought I had the quote, but I don't. But I'll just read it to you. The CDC, or the American Medical Association, says, quote, a dearth of tests at this moment does not justify omitting a testing requirement to exit a now shortened isolation. So basically saying, hey, just because you've been a crappy planner and haven't been able to get rapid tests out doesn't mean we should change your policy because of your piss poor planning. That's how I parsed it.
Well,
might not be accurate, but that's how I parsed it.
They are kind of planning, though, ahead, and this kind of is a, if you guys want to know how long we expect the COVID to be around, the Biden administration is looking at giving, I think it's $187 million to a German company that's going to produce tests for us, but the facility is not even going to be available until for 3 years. So we know that in 3 years, we're going to have plenty of testing for everybody because they're going to be putting out like 80 million tests a month out of this facility in 3 years. So that should tell you where we're going.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have this, what is it? The new, where is the name? It's the name of the new facility. I forget the name of it, but it's a, yeah, it's, is it 187 million?
I thought it was 187 million, 180 yeah. plus million.
Yeah. This new facility. So it's not going to be ready for, oh, it's 137 million. It's 137 million right now to boost production of key COVID test components. And it'll produce more than 83 million tests a month, according to the Pentagon. But of course, it won't be ready for until, what is it, 2024?
Yeah.
So good. So they
already are thinking that this is going to be still around at that time. And just like, so Obama's chief medical advisor during his presidency, he said, it is here to stay. Everyone will get COVID. It's kind of like chickenpox. It's endemic. Like everyone will get it is what they're, as most people are saying.
Well, and we're now hearing, now remember what President Biden told us. Remember what President Biden told us was that he, you know, elect him and he would eliminate COVID, right? That's what electing President Biden would do. We would eradicate the virus, right? He chastised President Trump for allowing it to proliferate. He talked about 500,000 Americans dead, and President Trump was to blame. And he said, if you elect me, we will eradicate this virus. It's enemy number one. Well, now we're learning from the White House, and according to reports this morning in the Wall Street Journal, President Biden, in a shift, is preparing Americans to see COVID-19 as part of your life. It's just going to be here.
I hope that doesn't mean Fauci is going to be part of our life.
Get ready for it. The Fauci doll. Yes.
No, please no.
It's going to be here for the rest of our lives. That's what we've been saying that here on the show, right? It's going to be here. You're never going to get rid of it. And it's, you know, and so what are we going to do? You know, the answer is, the question is, are we going to just continue to boost ourselves? I got an email from a viewer who she's fed up with our talking about the facts here on the show. And she's like, I'm just, you know, oh, awesome. And she's like, Clayton, you don't understand. We're going to have to take boosters every 90. Everyone's going to have to be vaccinated on a regular basis. We're going to have to take boosters. We're going to have to keep taking boosters. So I said, we're going to take boosters for the rest of our lives. Like every 90, they only last for 90 days. We're going to take them now every 90 days for the rest of our lives.
Science is showing the boosters only last for 15 days.
Right. And I wrote her, I said, is that what you're saying? And she said, you just don't understand. So no, I'm asking you a question. Like you literally are telling me that we're just going to boost our way out of this, which now that, you know, the data is showing us that that's never going to happen. We'd be filling our bodies with these metallic chemicals for the rest of our lives, and it's not going to work. It's going to do more harm to our bodies than it would help us.
Was it Gibraltar? No. What was the area? I think it was Gibraltar. I can't remember, that went 100% vaccinated and they still have outbreaks. So we are not, yeah. Dr. John, or Dr. Robert Malone, who's getting attacked right now, but he is the inventor of the technology for mRNA. He said you cannot vaccinate yourself out of an active pandemic. It just does not work.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing.
You know, we do know that the vaccinations keep people in large part from dying, right? And it has certainly reduced the number of hospitalizations thanks to the vaccine. I got the vaccine. But this idea that Omicron, you're going to then be boosting yourself for the rest of your life because of this basic, almost like a common cold, runny nose, sore throat variant of COVID. Like, no thanks. I'm not going to be injecting myself every 90 days with something.
No.
Now, the CDC is also changing their guidelines. Instead of it being fully vaccinated, it's going to be making sure that your shots are up to speed, basically. They're changing the language. So instead of fully vaccinated, the CDC is now changing its language to say, are your shots up to snuff, basically? Are they current? Are your shots current?
And you know, the thing is, like, it almost feels as if they knew this was going to happen, because in New York they had extra lines on the COVID passport or whatever it's called, mm-hmm. the night out thing. So they already knew, and so now they keep moving the goalposts. Like they already in Israel they're up to their third booster, and you have to have that. Now they're looking at a fourth. However, scientists are pushing back big time in Israel on the fourth booster. But that's going to keep happening. If they keep moving the goalposts and saying booster, 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 then you're going to have to, like, you know, like anybody who's like, okay, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to play the game, I'm going to go get my one Pfizer shot or whatever, then it's like you didn't even do it. It does not even matter. So if they keep moving this goalpost, what is the end goal? Like, why can't they tell us what the end goal is? If it's not herd immunity, if it's not to like flatten the curve, like, what is the end goal? They will not say what it is anymore.
They don't know. And, you know, at least with China, we know their end goal is zero COVID, right? That's been their plan. In China, it's we're going to be at zero COVID, which we know is impossible, right? But China is not going to admit they made a mistake on this. Like, but they're going full bore with it. I mean, like I showed you these children now at school, you know, in China, wearing these hazmat suits to go to school. So they're fully into this like zero COVID idea. But in the United States, is that the end game? Zero COVID? We know that it doesn't exist. Well, maybe the Biden administration now with this shift towards seeing COVID as part of life is finally you're admitting what most, you know, medical professionals know is that it's not going to go away. It's not ever going to go away. Just like the common cold is never going to go away. It's here.
And that Pfizer pill that they're coming out with, I've seen some data that shows that that's going to be a one a day pill for the rest of like, and it's like, does it not feel like, you know, when do we finally start to look at it as feeling like this is a money grab? Because what do the pharmaceutical industry love? They love residual drugs that you have to take day mm-hmm. after day after day, because then they just make a ton of money. You guys have no idea. Like we've talked about on this show several times, 9 new billionaires were created in the pharmaceutical industry during the pandemic. 9 new billionaires. This right. is a money grab. There's no reason they need to charge what they're charging for these pills. And imagine if that comes out and we have to take that on a daily basis, and they got people in fear that that pill is going to help them, when it probably helps them with the first dose and they probably wouldn't have to take it after, but they're going to make you believe that you have to take this pill every single day in order to not get COVID.
Lisa L in our chat says, I have a suspicion that they know more, way more than they're telling us.
Oh,
I don't think it's zero COVID. I think they're always afraid and still are of the supply chain getting severely affected. Yeah, you might be right about that. Someone else said, Russell Tyree, thank you for your $2 super chat, said, no booster for me. I had a migraine after my second shot. Migraine daily after my second shot. So now, permanently now with migraines because of this. Great.
Yeah, well, and that's another thing. They're like, if you just look at what they're like, look at what they do, not listen to what they say, right? You have to look at what they do. What are the actions? The actions are anybody who has any adverse reactions, they are silencing on YouTube. They're silencing. If you guys want to see testimonials from people that have had adverse reactions, you know, there was a group of like 3,000 people that have had really bad adverse reactions, and Facebook shut down this group, which was the only support these people were getting was each other, because they can't get any support from the government. Some of these people were in the right. trials, and if they had anything that didn't fit the list of the trials, like a headache, sore area after the shot, they were kicked from the trial. Completely kicked, and there's people talking about that, but you can't find it anywhere. So if that is the case, why are they silencing these people? And then also, why was there a clause in the paperwork for the vaccine saying that none of the pharmaceutical companies are responsible if there are any adverse reactions. There's text in the documents
that in the specifically contracts.
Give them, yeah, that give them the out for any adverse reaction. So they're not even on the hook if you do have anything life-threatening come out of it. So no. If that should tell you right there what this was.
Now, wouldn't it be amazing if you think about how many commercials we watch every day where it, you know, if you watch American television, God forbid, but you'll see, like, you put on Fox, put on CNN, put on any of these channels, you'll see medical, you'll see pharmaceutical ads nonstop, right? And always in those medical ads, it's like, may cause, you know, liver failure, may cause severe diarrhea, blah, blah, blah. You know, it gives you a list of all of the possibilities, right? Well, wouldn't it be nice if they just said, hey, this might cause myocarditis. This might cause inflammation of the brain. You might receive migraines afterwards. You know, like, give us this information. It's required on all of these other medical pills that all these other pills that are out there and all of these other injections. So why are we not allowed to hear about this? And when you question it or tell a doctor that, hey, I'm like this other person, I've had this issue, can we, you know, acknowledge this? No, you can't. We can't even mention it. We'll take you off YouTube. We'll banish you from social media. You're a pariah. You know, well, you're part exactly of the problem.
That's what Robert Malone is getting a lot of pushback from, because that's exactly what he was saying. He was saying, you know, people need, in order to make an informed decision, people need to know the risks, and people are not being told the risks. They are not, like, they are not telling you all of the risks that are involved with any of this stuff. And that's dangerous, because you're not actually giving them consent for what you think you are. You are an experiment. There's not one of these drugs is approved yet. Not one that we are taking is approved yet.
Brian Cody says, let's talk about Blue Chew. Yeah. Now you're talking. So in other news this morning, let's talk about the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, a bombshell story about this morning, an update in the wake of the Maxwell conviction. Turns out that one of the jurors may open up the door for a conviction of for her conviction to be overturned. So what's this all about? Well, interestingly, what's wrong? What am I doing here? There we go. Sorry, I had the wrong video here. There we go. Turns out one of the jurors may open the door for the conviction to be overturned and a new trial to be had. So what exactly is going on here? Well, late last night, lawyers for Ghislaine Maxwell asked a federal judge to give her a new trial because they say a juror was sharing his experience as a sexual abuse victim during the jury deliberations. So, like, what's this all about? Well, it's interesting here. What happened is this 35-year-old man who is a juror, and during the deliberations, he talked about his experience as a sexual abuse victim when he was younger. And he said that there were two jurors specifically who were having because you recall the defense. Remember, the defense was basically trying to say that all of these victims, that they just had cloudy memories. They weren't really abused. They couldn't possibly have remembered that Ghislaine Maxwell was involved in this, that they just had cloudy memories. I'm sorry, but when something tragic or awful happens in your life, we all remember it, right? It's pretty much like a stamp on your brain, right? And this sure has done some media. This juror has now done some media appearances where he talked about during the jury deliberations, he was able to recall in vivid detail what happened to him as a young man. And he says that some of the jurors had their minds swayed because he was able to say, no, I remember exactly what happened to me. These women who are up there talking aren't just making this up, and they don't have foggy memories. But interestingly, now one of the key points here is that on the jury questionnaire that he had to fill out ahead of time, they specifically asked the question as to whether or not they had sustained sexual abuse at some point in their life. And he would have had to have marked yes or no on that questionnaire. So he was asked in an interview about it, whether or not he answered yes to that question on the questionnaire. And he said he couldn't remember because he went through the questionnaire very quickly. Because here's the thing, and I was on a high profile jury trial at one point in Orlando, Florida, and you don't want to be there, right? Who wants to sit on jury duty? And by the way, you do not know which trial you're going to be picked for, especially in New York. Like, you go in and you have no idea, are you going to be put on this particular jury for the, you're there And you could be on any one of 20 different trials. You have no idea. And so filling out this questionnaire, you're just like, oh, I don't even want to be here, you know. But he says if he did see that question, he would have absolutely answered it honestly because it's an important part of his history. So now what happens? Well, you know that the defense lawyers are appealing the verdict and they're going to try to get a new trial or trying to appeal this. And while a judge will look at a jury's, you know, it's very unlikely that they would overturn a jury decision, right? However, they do take it seriously if there is something involving jury deliberations, which may go towards this appeal process and may actually aid the defense in this. So we could be going through a whole nother Ghislaine Maxwell trial because of this one juror. Can you believe that?
That's why this whole system is so completely screwed. It's like the only reason that questionnaire is there is so they can stack the jury in their favor. Like they it's just gives them little upper hands to stack a jury in their favor. You know, that the whole process is completely screwed.
You know, on the jury, I don't know. Have you ever had to do jury duty?
No, I was called in to do it one time and I didn't show up. but I didn't live in that state anymore. I couldn't have showed up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for me, I had to do it because I lived there. I had no excuse. But the thing they ask you, which is, you know, it's interesting, is they asked me on the jury thing, like, hey, do you work in the media? Are you a member of the media or anything like that? And I was a news anchor, you know? And so because of that, you know, I wrote down that information. I said, yes, I was. I'm a juror, you know, and they actually came back to me later and said, we thought that was the reason we chose you is because we felt like you would be more forthright. You'd be more honest. So we chose you because of the fact that you were a news anchor. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That was interesting. Anyway. Yeah. So we could be seeing a whole new trial here. So, I mean, I guess anybody who thought that she was going to get the rest of her life in prison, it's, you know, watch the system now. Just keep an eye on the system. That's how it goes. We got more news to get to here on the show. Like, we're going to go ahead.
Pina Colada said, well, David, that's the point. Yeah. The point is to kind of keep it, you know, so that they can stack it and get the outcomes that they want.
Yeah. That's how they play. What happened to G-Max? Yeah, I don't know. Natalie likes G-Max. I'll go with G-Max since she's not here today. Yeah, my co-host is off today because we got a sick child at home. How many new viewers do we watch are watching the show today in the chat? Let me know if you're new here. And thank you for supporting independent journalism, supporting what we do on this program, which is covering stories that, you know, the mainstream media largely won't cover. Or if they cover it, they cover it with an agenda and a narrative. So let's cover more stories here on the show. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at Headspace. So one of the things I wanted to do this year is to spend more time meditating, spending some quiet time. You know, you run through your whole day and you don't spend any sort of quiet time, just kind of, even if it's just like sitting in prayer, whatever it happens to be, right? It doesn't have to be some crazy meditation practice with pillows and incense and everything else, prayer beads or whatever. I spent many years meditating and it was a vital part of my day to calm myself, calm anxiety, get my thoughts together. We know that it decreases blood pressure, the whole nine yards. Well, that's where Headspace comes in, because Headspace is an incredible way to use on your phone and actually get access to how easy it is to walk you through different setups and so forth with the Headspace app in just a few minutes each day. When using the Headspace app, it can help you feel better in a short amount of time, from letting go of unnecessary stress to moving forward in life without anxiety. That's how it's helped me, because it actually gives you sort of tutorials as well. So if you're new to it, it can walk you through that whole process. Very, very simple. Try Headspace today at headspace.com/invest and get 1 month free of their entire mindfulness library. That, my wife loves it because they have great mindfulness sessions for children as well. So you can put them on for 5 minutes, have the kids sit down, just relax, stop freaking out, punching each other, calm yourself. The best Headspace offer is right now available at headspace.com/invest. Headspace.com/invest is the place to go and check it out. And what I love about it is, you know, when we say we're fine, you know, you're like, oh, I'm doing fine. You don't actually mean it, because fine isn't really an emotion. I mean, how many times yourself that you're actually fine, and then you go into like some, you yell at somebody, or just little things annoy you or piss you off, road rage, right?
When anyone I've ever dated says, a girl says, I'm fine, that's when I get worried, because I know that's not true.
Right. How are you doing today? Are you fine? Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Okay. I have a rule, actually, with Natalie. I haven't had to invoke it in many, many years, but my rule is, I see something's bothering you, because I'm like empathic in that way. So, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Okay, are you fine? Yeah, I'm fine. If I ask you three times, like, that's it. You only get three and I'm done. Like, do not come to me an hour later and tell me why you're pissed at me or what's going on. Like, I'm asking you now. Tell me now. If I ask you three times and you give me that same answer three times, good, we're done. You don't get another chance. You're not going to bring this up later and tell me why you're pissed at me about something. So it's easy to use with Headspace. Just take a minute, have a breath, sit down with the app. It's really, really powerful. In a recent study, 2 weeks with Headspace reduced stress by 14%. You can get, you know, relieve stress, anxiety. You can sleep better. David, you need this. You don't sleep. You've got high blood pressure. Improve your focus. Headspace is your everyday dose of mindfulness in real life. Again, get that free trial right now. 1 month with their entire mindfulness library. Head over to headspace.com/invest and get 1 month free of their entire mindfulness library. This is the best Headspace offer they have. Headspace.com/invest today. Headspace.com/invest.
And I'm downloading it right now. And I do remember, because I did have Headspace. I mean, I used it for a while. And the app is just so, so well done. It's just a really good app. It's clean and just works. So I'm downloading it right now.
Yeah, I love it. It's my favorite. It's my favorite one on my phone for meditating. It's great. It works too with the Apple Health app. So when you can set up a routine every day, you know, to set up different mindful sessions. So it works with your health app to like kind of remind you. It also catalogs how many times you've been doing your meditations on a regular basis. So again, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to think of meditation as like woo woo, right? Think of it as prayer. Just think of it as quiet time to just sit down and clear your mind, get all that stuff out of your head. It's incredibly important. So
it's whatever your situation. It's like going to the bathroom without going to the bathroom.
Yeah. You feel so much better.
Yeah, you just
it's a relief.
And I mean like going and sitting on the throne and just like thinking and, you know, because you kind of meditate. Yeah. I meditate there kind of just like that's where my best ideas come from.
TNT New Life in our chat says, sometimes I don't even know what's wrong with me. As a woman, it takes me a minute to process my emotions and I don't talk about it until I know myself. Plastic in our chat says it works great. I'm downloading it right now. Oh, no. Plastic is making fun of David for saying it works great. I'm downloading it right now.
Well, because I had it.
He got before. A new phone. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I had it before. Like I, but like, it's like we find these things that work for us and that does really well, but then we get into our lives and stuff gets kind of put to the side. Yeah. Life gets in the way and you stop doing things. And I just remember how good that used to make me feel. So I'm going to start doing it again.
Yeah. We go through these seasons in our life where we do this stuff. Right. All right. Well, we've got to talk about this, guys. Today is January 6th. 1 year ago today, I don't know if we can call this an anniversary. I asked this question in the newsletter today. Like an anniversary seems to be something like jovial, something nice, something positive that we celebrate, right? It's the anniversary of our wedding. It's a birthday anniversary, whatever it is, right? But January 6th, we had this riot at the Capitol. We had hundreds of people who broke into the Capitol building. You had thousands more who were outside peacefully protesting. That it's emblematic of a nation divided right now. But of course, both political parties are using this thing as a political football to their own advantage or disadvantage. Democrats are trying to hang their hats on this right now as one thing for you to vote for because God knows their agenda has failed. Democrats have governed awfully, terribly, right? They run every member. They have every seat in Congress. I mean, they have every house in Congress, right? They have the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the White House. And this is the governing that they've provided.
Well, yeah,
right?
Remember what they said when they had to win the Georgia runoff, because if they did, they wouldn't need Republicans. They'd be able to pass everything they wanted. It was going to be sunshine, rainbows, $2,000 checks were going to go out. It was like this was going to be the best thing that ever happened to the American people.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened to that? Right. What exactly happened to that? Well, it didn't happen. And Republicans are equally as bad. Right. Both parties are garbage. So they're using this as a political football right now. But Karl Rove is trending today, former right-hand man to George W. Bush, presidential advisor to George W. Bush. Very smart individual. He's a very learned individual, very, very intelligent. And Republicans always lean on him for trends in the Republican Party. I once had dinner with Karl Rove where he brought a book this thick that showed all of the different congressional districts and exactly like how he thought they were going to vote in certain. Like the guy is a studied, learned person. But he's under fire this morning from Republicans for his opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal that he wrote this morning called Republicans' January 6th Responsibility. So there are some key pieces of this that I wanted to highlight for you today from Karl Rove. And he says, we are in an acrimonious period of partisan tribalism, and we have been for some time. Both parties are guilty of overwrought denunciations of their political opponents. He said, my criticisms are often aimed at Democrats. But on the anniversary of January 6th, I'm addressing squarely those Republicans who for a year have excused the actions of the rioters who stormed the Capitol, disrupted Congress as it received the Electoral College's results, and violently attempted to overturn the election. He says that these Republicans are apologists. And he says they're apologizing for those who stormed the Capitol. He's saying they're just they're labeling them as innocent patriots. They were just tourists who were visiting the seat of the national government to petition their elected representatives peacefully. We're told that these harmless, ordinary Americans are being persecuted as political prisoners. And he goes on to talk about where the leaders of this group were intent on committing violence. Some planned to do so for weeks. Many wore tactical gear. Some came armed with chemical agents, flagpoles.
Those were probably the
feds. Yeah, we don't. Batons, sticks. They broke through barricades, assaulted approximately 140 police officers, in some cases with the officer's own shield or gear. They smashed doors, windows, illegally entered the Capitol, ransacked offices, searched for leaders of Congress, and made dire threats about what would happen if they found them. That is all true.
Why isn't he saying anything about the sticks they were handed from the basement window? Like, nobody talks about that. Do you remember that video? Like, why has that never been talked about?
Well, I mean, it's been talked about here on our show. I think, and we can, again, we can come back and sort of conflate these issues a little bit. I mean, I think one issue is that there were people who posted on their social media ahead of time that they were going to come to Washington. They wanted to hold these leaders accountable. They were stocking up on different tactical gear with that sole purpose. So I think he's talking about those specific people, right? These people that said they wanted to find Nancy Pelosi and find these other Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Mike Pence and wanted to hang said person on the, you know, on the Capitol lawn. Those people, I think he's specifically talking about, right? And so this is a discussion that he's made. This is an argument that he's making, Karl Rove. He said that more than 725 people have been charged so far, and law enforcement is searching for hundreds more suspects who appear in videos or social media, some recorded attacking police officers. At least 163 people have pled guilty. 71 have been sentenced. Only one defendant's charges have been dismissed. Many of the most serious trials have yet to be held as lawyers prepare defenses or negotiate plea deals. And he asks this thought-provoking question, which is, here's a thought experiment. What if, on the other hand, the other side had done it? What if in early January 2017, Democrats, similarly attired and armed, had stormed the Capitol and attempted to keep Congress from receiving the Electoral College results for the 2016 presidential election? What if Democrats, he writes, claimed that Donald Trump's razor-thin victories in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin resulted from extensive voter fraud and should be rejected, despite having failed to establish in a single court that extensive fraud had actually occurred? Well, what if these Democrats breached the Capitol defenses, threatened violence against Republican Speaker Paul Ryan at the time and Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell? What if they insisted that his role as Senate President, then Vice President Joe Biden, had been the sole authority to seat Hillary Clinton and thereby hand her the presidency? If this happened, Would some of my fellow Republicans have accepted it as merely a protest? Would they have called patriots who charge with violent acts against our country, its laws and constitution? Would they have accepted such extra legal means to change the outcome of a presidential election? He writes, no, they would not. I am certain of that. So basically, he says to move beyond January 6th, we must put country ahead of party. Democrats, that means resisting their leadership's petty habit of aggravating partisan fault lines by indiscriminately condemning all who came to Washington that day. And we Republicans have a heavier burden. He says, I've been a Republican my entire life, writes Karl Rove. He says, and believe in what Republican Party stands for at its best, has represented for decades. There can be no soft peddling what happened and no absolution for those who planned, encouraged, and aided the attempt to overthrow our democracy. Love of country demands nothing less. That's true patriotism. So, interesting thoughts by Karl Rove on his opinion piece. That's why it's trending today. And that the GOP has to condemn the riot and those who refuse to acknowledge it. But, you know, it is interesting to see Merrick Garland, though, come out and say that instigators, those people who weren't even there that day, people who, you know, I don't know, went on social media or told other people to go to the Capitol, would also face prosecution along with pro-Trump rioters. And we're learning that President Biden today is going to come out and give a speech where he is going to eviscerate Trump and say that he is totally to blame for what happened on January 6th, that he was responsible for it. So talk about trying to heal the nation right now. And, you know, there's so much hypocrisy to go around in this whole argument, where if you want to like try to pull it apart and dissect little pieces of it, like, for instance, what about the bomber, the place lead pipes? Where's that? There's no discussion of that. There's no discussion of that. No mention of that. No manhunt for that guy. Well, where has this guy been?
That, you know, a lot of people do, like, this is where I do defend Trump. I did not see anything him calling for violence that day. Nothing he said actually called for it. And it's like, you cannot, if you say something, like if we were to say something on this show, we say a certain thing, some people are going to take it one way, some people are going to take it another way. Some people take things that people say to a different degree and act out in a way that they maybe didn't plan. Did he not stop it soon enough after he knew it was happening? Possibly. Okay, that's where this could be the case. However, there were questions about what happened in the election. There were questions. People should have been looking into this more, because that's the thing. Like, if our democracy is at all threatened, this happens in other countries all the time. People protest. People bring sticks. People do things when things like this happen. So they could have been way more transparent from the beginning with everything that was going on, instead of, like, you know, just blowing everybody off and saying there's nothing to see here, nothing to see here. There should have been third party investigations from people that were not, you know, politicized or whatever. Like, there could have been so many other things that could have made this a better situation. And the fact that, you know, these people went into the Capitol, if they don't start listening to the people, the Congress and the senators, this is going to happen again, and it's going to be worse.
Well, you know, on the election side, you had Republican secretaries of state, you had Republican election commissions, you had Trump elected or Trump appointed judges who looked at quote unquote voter fraud in Arizona and Michigan and all sorts of other places. Nothing, right? And so that had been adjudicated in the courts. That's what Karl Rove is saying here. So there are systems in place to deal with that, right? I mean, yes, we have an election system where you have all sorts of different election, counties. You have different, you know, election boards. So it's not a federal election system that's actually analyzing. It's state by state by state, county by county by county, election system by election system. And so all of these things have been adjudicated. And so I think that's what Karl Rove is saying here. I'm not going to put words in his mouth. Again, this is his opinion piece. But we absolutely should shine a light on all of these things. And what I am always troubled by is like the picking and choosing of what we shine a light on, right, for political purposes. That's what I'm getting to here, is we pick and choose what we choose to, like, what we want to get answers about.
Well, and that's
and
why
we conveniently ignore the rest.
And that's why I argue that it should be like we need some kind of investigate. Like I said, there's no investigative journalists anymore. If one single person saw any a bit, like let's say it absolutely was not enough to overturn the election. I understand that it probably wasn't, but if there was any indication that it had happened, there should be investigators, not the states, not the people that are that can, you know, ultimately decide who wins or loses because it's all politicized, an independent party to go in and just look at it. But we don't have those anymore. Like back in the day, you would have had the people from 2020 or something like that, like on the scene investigating, hey, you know, we're going to look into this. We need all this data. We need to look into this and that. And that just doesn't happen anymore. We don't have that. So it's like we're putting all of our faith in what these politicians' outcome, what they say it is. And we know that behind the scenes, these deals are made and this deal's made. If you say this, you know, you get this deal. So it's like we just don't have anybody that does the work for us anymore so that we absolutely know positively that there was nothing sinister going on with our election.
Merrick Garland says that the January 6th instigators could face prosecution. Here's what he had to say yesterday about in this speech on the eve of January 6th. Here's what he had to say.
The Justice Department remains committed to holding all January 6th perpetrators at any level accountable under law, whether they were present that day or were otherwise criminally responsible for the assault on our democracy. We will follow the facts wherever they lead.
Okay. You'll follow the facts wherever they lead. And as I brought up earlier, you know, what about the, as Tucker mentioned last night, and I don't agree with Tucker on everything at all, but I think he made a very important point about who we pick to go after, right, in certain situations. So we put out this massive manhunt for people that were there taking pictures and other things like that. But then there are all sorts of other crimes in this United States that we turn a blind eye to and choose to ignore. But he specifically talked about the lead, you know, the pipe bomber. And what about this guy?
Garland made no mention at all of the pipe bomber. Remember the pipe? Oh, there's the pipe bomber right there. The pipe bomber of January 6th. Maybe it was January 5th, actually. We're observing the anniversary of the pipe bomber right now. That individual was caught. We would say man, but you know, we don't want to get too specific in the current environment. That person was caught on surveillance tape. The pipe bomber was on several phones, or one phone several times. That's all traceable. Where's that person? Merrick Garland didn't even mention it.
Hmm. Yeah, so someone lays a pipe bomb at the nation's capital, or at the DNC headquarters, or the RNC headquarters. Where is the discussion about that? You know, why isn't there this nationwide manhunt, the resources in place to go after those people?
Well,
the picking and choosing of resources.
Where's the person going out? Like those two FBI guys, you could clearly see their face, and they're not even on any of these lists to be like they're like nowhere to be seen, these feds. So if in my opinion, like if you have two feds there, then that completely, if you have two feds leading people in, you have the police moving barriers, that completely just like completely throws all of this stuff out the window, because if they were there, they were helping this happen. So how can the feds help it happen and then try and find the people and persecute the people who did it? That makes zero sense to me.
Well, it's a great question. And we don't, you know, again, we don't know how widespread that was, like this involvement by the feds. You know, was it three people? Was it two people? We know that there were certain Capitol Police officers who were let go. Many more quit, you know, many more Capitol Police quit. But at the, you know, I think what gets lost in this argument about the feds, and I think what gets lost in this, like in the, maybe just the, you know, Tucker focusing on this pipe bomber, is the almost 200 people who broke through, smashed windows, went through the Capitol, trashed the place, were trying to hunt down members of Congress and saying that they were going to try to get Mike Pence and hang him on the Capitol steps, go after Nancy Pelosi, go after all of these other members of Congress. So I think that gets lost in all of this. And there's just like the sugarcoating that I see from some of the conservative media. And then there's this political football politicization of this entire thing. Vote for Democrats because, you know, you can't trust Republicans. And they're all tied to Trump, and they're all here. They were all here to overturn and destroy our country, when that's not true either. There were thousands of people there that were protesting peacefully about an election they thought was wrong, supporting a leader that they were upset had lost.
Well, and that's the thing.
And they were protesting peacefully. So they, you know, they conflate all of these stories.
Yeah, and if you look at like, for me, if the like look at all the crimes that have happened in the past that the feds have been like, we always find out the feds were involved somehow. The feds were manipulating these kids to do this crime. The feds were involved in getting this person to do this crime. Like, they're involved in almost all of this stuff. And if they're involved in any way, shape, or form, I think it undermines the whole thing. Because we don't know how many of them were there. They could have been the ones that built the gallows. They could have been the ones like this whole thing where we just saw that march of those people with shields and all that just came out. Like, for me, when I see that stuff now, my mind just goes to feds. Because like when we saw that little, what was that protest that was like a remembrance of January 6th and they were like trying to get this, everybody to show up. Well, nobody showed up, but there's like pictures and it was all feds. Like everybody right. who was there were federal agents. Yeah. Like, They're heavily involved in this stuff, and it's like, why does that all get overlooked? Why is nobody in, like I said, where are the investigative journalists finding out how many feds were involved? How real was this situation? We don't need Congress doing it with their little, you know, cabinet or whatever they yeah. got together, their little thing to go and look into it. Because what are they going to do? They're not going to go look at evidence. They're not going to go be detectives. We need journalists to be in there and do real detective work to find out what happened, if we really want to know.
Well, here's a real journalist, Tom O'Neill. Now, I just finished reading his book a few months ago. I encourage all of you to read it. It's very dense, but it's he spent 20 years of his life as a journalist reporting on this story. 20-year story about the Charles Manson, the involvement of the CIA, and so in the chat right now, what I'm seeing somebody in the chat say is, we know the feds. I think Fred Meyer says we know the feds have a history of being involved with terrorism plots in the United States. Yes.
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 Every single one.
TNT New Life says, I believe the FBI and the CIA are parts of these hate groups. Two black men found hung in public places. The FBI says it's suicide. Who commits suicide in the woods and in a public street? I don't know that. But what I'm saying is that there is a history of this, and it's right here. You can read about it. Charles Manson, the CIA, the secret history of the 1960s. It's an excellent piece of journalism. He's an excellent reporter. He spent 20 years of his life and a gumshoe reporter. I mean, literally getting gum on his shoe, going door to door, speaking to sources, people who were actually involved with it. Not just like, you know, people hanging out in a newsroom in CNN, like an actual journalist sleeping in his car to get the answers. And yes, the CIA and the FBI, they were actively involved in these groups. They infiltrated these groups. They were a part of these groups. And in fact, in some instances, they fomented violence on purpose. So there's a long history here of this.
Well, and look what happens, though. Like, here's what happens. You have people like Julian Assange who break these stories, who shine a light on this stuff. And who ends up being the bad guy? It's the journalist. It's the person mm-hmm. that's shining the light on the fact that this, like, they probably hate that guy that wrote that book. You know?
Because, yeah, right.
I mean, because, like, you yeah. can't. Anybody who tries, and that's what we don't have. We don't have fearless journalists anymore that are willing to put their, I mean, we do, but they get marginalized because they're a blogger or they're on YouTube. I don't listen to any, I don't get any of my information from somebody on YouTube. That's ridiculous. I don't get my information from podcasters. That's ridiculous. Right. But those are the only investigators that exist anymore.
Well, look, I spent 20 years in the mainstream media, right? I was a news anchor and a journalist for 20 years in the mainstream media. I worked for CBS, NBC, Fox. I was there. I worked in those places.
Belly of the beast.
In the belly of the beast, you know? And you know, I have a lot of great sources, right? And I have a lot of great friends that are excellent journalists and who have moved around from different newsrooms to different newsrooms, but they've been excellent journalists, excellent writers. And I run a YouTube channel. And so we cover these stories here on this show that you're not going to see in the mainstream media. We cover it and we try to provide context for it. And we're not taking a side on this. I mean, I'm trying to give you both sides of this, which is what Karl Rove is saying on this, what Tucker was saying on this, what the police are saying on this, what people who were on the ground actually involved in these riots were saying, who were there watching all of this unfold. So all different angles of this. Ted Cruz, though, this is a funny take, I think, from Tucker on Ted Cruz. So I don't know if you caught what Ted Cruz said yesterday. Now calling this, basically calling this a terrorist attack. That's what it was. It was a terrorist attack. Ted Cruz. So here's what Ted Cruz had to say about what happened on January 6th. And I want to play it and get Tucker's context on that. That was pretty funny.
We are approaching a solemn anniversary this week, and it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery, risk their lives to defend the men and women who serve in this Capitol.
Now, let's be honest. Everyone who's conservative appreciates Ted Cruz. You may not like him, but you got to appreciate him. He's legitimately smart. He's one of the more articulate people to serve in the Congress, maybe the most articulate. He doesn't use a single word by accident. Every word Ted Cruz uses is used intentionally. He's a lawyer. He described January 6th as a violent terrorist attack. Of all the things that January 6th was, it was definitely not a violent terrorist attack. It wasn't an insurrection. Was it a riot? Sure. It was not a violent terrorist attack. Sorry. So why are you telling us that it was, Ted Cruz? And why are none of your Republican friends who are supposed to be representing us and all the people who have been arrested during this purge saying anything? What the hell's going on here? You're making us think maybe the Republican Party is as worthless as we suspected it was. That can't be true. Reassure us, please, Ted Cruz.
Oh, Ted Cruz. A terrorist attack. What else do you want to call it? An alien invasion? Like, what else? What other monikers can we give what happened on January 6th?
A planned event. I mean, like, it just to me, it has all the hallmarks of something that was planned. Because, like, if you just, like, with these things, if you just, guys, just take an outside look and you look beyond what the mainstream is telling you, you literally have to look beyond that. Like, you cannot listen to the mainstream. And that's why we do this show, because you're not going to get all the stuff on the mainstream, but there's plenty of stuff to watch and see. Like, there were Trump supporters literally pulling people off the walls from breaking windows and saying, what are you doing? And these people were doing it anyway. There was a guy that ended up being a Fed that, like, told somebody, hey, you should go in this window. You know, was walking around telling people to do stuff. And then somebody started hitting a window, and these Trump supporters were pulling them off of the window. So it's like, mm-hmm. There's so much information showing that they tried to stop this, but other people had other ideas, and they were all the ones in, like, tactical gear. Who just has, I don't know. It's just, there's so
well,
many
and then
things.
You can go down the rabbit holes of we're now learning about Sean Hannity and the text messages that he had and was going back and forth with Mark Meadows. These text messages go deeper than what we initially knew about. There's so much here to unpack. You know, anyone claims that they have all the answers on this is full of garbage. There's all sorts of stories that emerge from this. But one thing we can tell you, though, it was not a terrorist attack.
Right.
It was not a terrorist attack. Was it a riot? Yes. Were there people there protesting peacefully? Yes. Were there people who got swept up in this and decided, hey, they're going in, I'm going to go in? Yes. Were there people who had planned it weeks in advance and bought tactical gear and brought weapons to Washington, D.C.? Yes. Were there people that laid pipe bombs at different headquarters at the DNC and RNC? Yes. Is politics being used? Is this being used as a political football by both sides? Yes.
Well, and that's the thing. That's like, all of this stuff is just a way for them to keep us fighting because they've got us so divided. It's like, and what I find funny too and kind of hypocritical is you have this whole movement of defund the police and everything like that. But yet when it comes to this, they're patriots. You going in the Capitol because it was Trump's people. Now all of a sudden they're patriots and they want something done about it, but they could care less about anything else. And it's like, We just have to like step back and understand that these people work for us. That is our building. We own that building. We pay for that building. They don't pay for that. We pay the salary of every person in that building. So I think if we need to go in that building, we should have every right to go in that building.
It's the people, you know, it's the people's house, right? Which is no longer is surrounded by fences and everything else. But, you know, so President Biden just a few minutes ago, surprised he knows what year it is.
There's a lot of reason to be hopeful in 2020.
Sorry, I had to play it. That was from 3 days ago. But President Biden, in a speech just a few minutes ago, now coming out, in fact, blaming President Trump for the carnage, as the Drudge Report puts it, carnage, says that President Trump had a bruised ego. And of course, this is the major headline on Drudge, that we are more divided than ever. And of course, the photo that they use is the weird gallows that are set up on the Capitol lawn where they wanted to hang Mike Pence. Like, Who brought that? Who set that up?
Did they let people just bring in a staple gun and like there was a small construction crew there for a while? What are you guys doing? Oh, we're just building a gallows for Mr. Pence. We'll be out of here, out of your hair here in about 20 minutes.
What do you like? Hire a group of Amish that could like put up a barn in 5 minutes? Like, how do you get this thing?
That didn't get the attention of the Capitol Police. Like, hey, excuse me, that just kind of looks like a it is. It's a gallows. Well,
you know what it reminds me?
That top piece is not going to hold somebody, just so you know.
You know what it reminds me of, to be honest with you? Not to make light of it. I mean, there were people who were trying to get Mike Pence to hang him. But it reminds me of that Monty Python piece out of the Holy Grail, where they're up on the turrets of the castle and they hear like the sawing and the hammering, and they're like, what's going on? And they don't see anything and they look out and then suddenly there's a giant bunny rabbit horse, like a Trojan horse. Like, huh? And they have hammering and they're like, oh, I guess that's probably nothing. It's probably nothing to be worried about.
Go back to that picture really quick. Anybody in here? Okay, that's in any kind of construction, you understand how this stuff works. The way that that's built, as soon as a body was hanging from that thing would tip over forward. Like, right. That is, you know what I mean? It's not got a center of gravity. Like, they wouldn't have hung anybody from that. And I think that that whole thing also was, like, there's people that were saying that. But, again, those are the people that I believe were the feds, because that's what they do. They go into these riots and stuff, and they try to get people to do things that they normally wouldn't do. But that is just like, we have symbolism all the time. Somebody was like, oh, that's dangerous. Like, that's symbolism. You have people that fly the flag upside down. You had Nancy, what was that comedian that held Trump's head that looked like it had been cut off? That's symbolism. You know, it's like a lot of people that do this stuff, they don't plan on actually doing that. They're symbolizing, like, this is how mad we are. Like, we're trying to show you this is how angry we are. And it's only going to get worse if they don't start listening to the people.
True. Well, I want to talk about, we got a few more stories I want to get to here before we wrap things up for the day, but some important stories, because we could talk about this all day, and we're going to continue to hear about this for the rest of the day, I'm sure, as we look at this, what do you call it, anniversary? I guess it's an anniversary, right?
Yeah, they still use that word, anniversary.
Even though it's like a solemn day, it's a sad day, you know? Why can't I find this darn thing? I'm having some trouble here today, guys. I apologize. First, I want to tell you about our friends at Alto IRA. You know, now is a perfect time for you to think about this time of the year. You know, you want to be investing in certain things that are going to actually make you a lot of money. Well, right now we're seeing Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other cryptocurrencies having a huge decline because of what happened in Kazakhstan overnight. They basically closed down the internet. And so Bitcoin, huge plummet down to 42,000. We saw Ethereum down, probably going to hit even lower, probably down to 3,000 or below. I'm not a financial analyst. I'm not a financial advisor. But I am telling you, based on the technical analysis that I've been doing on these cryptos, these cryptocurrencies, that they are going to probably go lower, in my humble opinion. Well, now, wouldn't it be a great time to be able to buy the dip and be able to buy it inside of a self-directed retirement account where you don't have to pay taxes on it? Well, that's the beauty of Alto IRA. It's a self-directed IRA. And if you don't know what a self-directed IRA is, folks, this is a time for you to pay attention to how to build wealth, because it is a powerful wealth-building vehicle. And I'm not talking about just an IRA or a Roth IRA. I'm talking about a self-directed IRA. Now, if you call up Fidelity or you call up any of these big banks and you ask them, hey, can I self-direct, meaning can I buy real estate inside of my IRA? Can I buy cryptocurrency inside of my IRA? They'll probably tell you can, but that's a lie. They're lying to you. They don't want to lose your business. But what they're telling you is, oh, yeah, you could just invest in like a fund that invests in real estate. But that's not actually owning real estate. That's not actually owning cryptocurrency. Owning a fund that owns it, it's not the same thing. And that's where Alto IRA comes in. They actually allow you to invest in cryptocurrency very quickly and easily inside of your IRA. And all of those profits will grow tax-free. Uncle Sam doesn't get their hands on it. That's the beauty of it. The majority of people are investing in cryptocurrency through a taxable account, which is a huge mistake. Every time you buy and sell crypto, that's a tax event. That's a taxable event. Well, with Alto IRA, you could be using an IRA and it's all of that profit is avoiding taxes. So it grows tax-free. It's like owning a piece of real estate inside of a self-directed account. All of that income from the tenant in that property lives inside of the self-directed IRA and grows tax-free. Uncle Sam can't touch it and doesn't get those taxes. That's the beauty of this. So I love Alto IRA. That is my main self-directed IRA account. I invest in crypto inside of that account, and it works with Coinbase. They've partnered with Coinbase so that the Coinbase wallet and the ease of use, being able to quickly buy and sell and trade cryptocurrencies all with the Coinbase account inside of your Alto IRA account. It's a perfect marriage, really. So you can open an Alto crypto IRA account today with as little as $10. Just try it out. Even if you're trying to set up an account for your children, or you want a little something where the government can't touch it, this is where you need, just open it up with $100, $50, $10, whatever it is, and learn about how this works and let this account grow tax-free. Just go to altoira.com/morning. That's altoira.com/morning. Start investing in cryptocurrency today. Go to altoira.com/morning. And I have to tell you, I had an old self-directed IRA account with an old custodian, and I'm talking old. These guys didn't even know how to use the internet. They literally required fax machines. Like if I wanted to invest in something, I had to send it. Really, really antiquated. So when I heard about Alto IRA and they came to our show, I said, okay, I'm going to investigate this. I opened an account and I couldn't believe it. It's like, oh my God, an IRA account, a company, a self-directed IRA company that gets the internet and understands how quickly I want to be able to trade something. And the app is super easy to use. Their interface is great. So I cannot recommend them highly enough. I use them personally on a daily basis to do crypto trading. And all of that is growing tax-free for me. So check them out today. I can't speak highly enough of these guys. Really, really great job what they've done. All right. Let's see here. Let's talk about... Well, I don't know about you, but I didn't spend New Year's Eve wearing bedazzled glasses and inviting 100 of my richest friends over to my yacht and wearing all kinds of sequined and neon pants and everything else like Jeff Bezos did. I don't know if you caught Jeff Bezos' New Year's Eve celebrations. Here he is posting on Instagram.
Did you get to see him? My holidays Bezos free, except for his deliveries. I do get his stuff delivered to my house, but I try to keep him completely out of my head.
Like that shirt. There he is. He goes, and here was his Instagram account. Here's what he posted. We had so much fun last night celebrating with a crazy disco party with the family. But the new year is also a great time to take stock and focus on personal growth, renewal, rebirth, and paying careful attention to each moment of your life. The good and the bad, all of it. Celebrate and grow. By the way, I love the top comment that just says Amazon is trash. notice that in the comments thread, right? Here's some other people dressed up in their neon shoes and everything, hanging out, right? Oh, here we go. Here's some more people partying with Jeff Bezos and his heart shaped glasses, and yeah, all of it. Super nice, right? So. But apparently that's not going over so well. And his followers, his New Year's Eve disco styled event is hitting quite a nerve with people who said it's just totally out of, it's totally tone deaf, given the fact that his workers at Amazon are asking for better working conditions and better hours and not having to pee in bottles. And this is happening across the world right now. Amazon workers in Chicago staging a walkout, demanding better pay, better working conditions. And Forbes says that this is going to be one of Amazon's biggest points of reckoning for this year, is all of these strikes, all of these global protests that Amazon is going to come to. In fact, they're calling it Make Amazon Pay. Make Amazon Pay, a coalition of workers and activists, is organizing all sorts of protests. They did it on Black Friday. They're going to be doing it again here, I think, in the next month or so, asking for better wages, better pay, reducing its overall carbon footprint, according to their website. The strikes are set to take place at factories, warehouses, data centers, corporate offices, oil refineries all around the world, including sites in Minnesota, California, Boston, New York City, and Amazon employees in 20 different countries are preparing to strike or protest. They said 70 organizations, Greenpeace, Oxfam, and Amazon Workers International are all going to protest. But Amazon released a statement saying, hey, you know, these protesting groups represent a variety of interests. And while we're not perfect in any area, if you objectively look at what Amazon is doing in each of these areas, you'll see that we take our role and our impact very seriously. I mean, I just find it completely tone deaf that you like have a party, I guess, and then you need to put like show us all the photos of yourself on a yacht and partying with this excessive, you know, gaudy. I mean, someone did an analysis of all of the stuff that they're wearing and he's wearing. It's like tens of thousands of dollars, you know, in different clothing and glasses and jewelry that's hanging around their neck. Some of this jewelry that's hanging around their necks, like thousands of dollars at a time when their workers are like being asked to work overtime on New Year's Eve to get boxes out and not being able to form a union and to receive proper wages. Just smells bad to me. I don't know. I'm finding this guy more and more repugnant, like as each day goes by. Is that Tony Gonzalez with him? I thought that was. I was like, I don't know.
I just these people live in a third reality. You know, when we talk about parallel realities, they live in a completely parallel reality to us that it doesn't even like they don't understand us in any way, shape, or form. Like, we are peasants to them. They probably wouldn't kick us, you know. Jeff Bezos would probably walk by, has probably $1 billion in his pocket in cash, and wouldn't even hand a homeless person a dollar. Like, he's just that arrogant seeming of a person.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for Amazon, so for Christmas bonuses, people are asking about that. Typically, Amazon gives out bonuses every year during the month of December. For full-time employees, Amazon gives out $300 bonuses. Part-time employees receive $150 for their holiday bonus. But going to great lengths to make sure that they can't unionize, going to great lengths, spending millions of dollars to make sure that this is, I love the hypocrisy of these companies. You want to talk about woke capitalism, right? On the one hand, Amazon talks about all of that they're doing to make sure that Black lives matter, right? That we're inclusive and we're going the extra length we're going the extra mile to make sure that people of color are represented well here at Amazon and so forth, right? They have curated collections of Black Lives Matter material on Amazon.com. Like if you just, or I'm sure they'll do something for like Black History Month in February, yeah. Right? There's going to be like a dedicated section, right?
We don't see color. We pay everyone the same crappy wage.
Right. Yeah, we don't see color. We don't notice it, except when it's convenient for us, right?
Right. We see it in our marketing, but not in our actions.
So I love this sort of woke, you know, this is, you know, woke capitalism. You'll talk about how you're so great to people on the one hand, but then you'll spend millions of dollars to make sure that your workers can't unionize, can't get better wages, can't get, so they don't have to fulfill certain quotas where they're standing on their feet all day. Basically, you know, having to pee in bottles like we've seen. Being tracked at all hours, no human person, people being fired by an app, people being fired by an iPhone app or an Android app, being told that they've lost their job because they didn't meet a certain quota, or you know they couldn't clock in on time or something, and they're just being fired right by a phone app. They don't get to speak to a human being. I'd love to know. Is anyone here work at Amazon? Let me know in the chat how many of the people experienced this. What do you guys think of Jeff Bezos? No wonder this is the number one trending story, by the way, on Wall Street Journal right now. The most popular story because people are like, what the hell was he thinking on New Year's Eve? Like, and then tweeting all this out about himself.
Neff just brings up a good point. Green is the only color they recognize.
Green, yeah. And by the way, green, if it's convenient from an environmental perspective too, like ESG, that's the new buzzword, right? ESG. So, we're ESG compliant. You know, we really care about the environment. We care about science. We care about governance, right? We care about those things. At the same time, our workers are suffering and our sweatshops that produce our goods. Don't look over there. Just look here. We planted a few trees. We're good people. We really care about the environment. I love hypocrisy.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is.
Let's talk about Djokovic. Did you guys hear about this story? And do you like my little, this is not a joke? Get it? Anyway, so Djokovic was going to Australia to defend his title at the Australian Open. And he got a medical exemption, okay, and was able to go after this whole medical exemption. So he didn't have to get a vaccine. He was able to get a vaccine exemption to go and defend his title, okay? Well, now, suddenly, this morning, one day later, I guess there was enough of a woke mob to say that how dare they give him a medical exemption, a vaccine exemption, and we're revoking it, and now you're kicked out of the country. So now Novak Djokovic is being refused entry into the Australian Open. So right now he's being kept at an immigration office in Melbourne, at a Melbourne airport, after a 10-hour standoff. So he was filing this appeal so that he could play in the tournament and defend his title with a medical exemption, and they agreed to it. So he flew there ready to play, and now they're revoking it, pulling it off. And so, as the New York Times reporting, he was told he would need to leave the country after a 10-hour standoff with government officials at a Melbourne airport, where he was held in a room overnight over the validity of his visa and questions about the evidence supporting a medical exemption from a coronavirus vaccine. Now, this exemption was supposed to allow him to compete in the Australian Open, even though he's not been vaccinated. Okay, now if you know anything about Djokovic, you know that he suffered from all sorts of inflammation and issues over the years, and so he has not been vaccinated because, well, he thought it would medically compromise him. So he decided not to be vaccinated as a result of that. He's incredibly healthy, but he went off gluten a number of years ago. I've been following sort of his health journey for a number of years. This isn't new. And so that was his medical exemption. I'm a tennis player down on a tennis court, 15 meters from any other human being, playing a game by myself on the other side of a net and a yellow ball. You know, if everyone else in the stands is wearing a mask, like I can't compete now.
Sweat particles fly pretty far, though, you know, and the sweat particles are highly, highly, highly viral.
I mean, it's ridiculous, right? Here is the MP, Scott Morrison's the MP, says, Mr. Djokovic's visa has been canceled. Rules are rules, he says, in Australia, especially when it comes to our borders. No one is above these rules. Our strong border policies have been critical to Australia having one of the lowest death rates in the world from COVID. We are continuing to be vigilant. Okay, so why did you approve a medical exemption then? So he flies there to defend his title after a medical exemption. He was approved, and now he's being held against his will, basically in a detention facility while they figure out what they're going to do with it while they fight this legal battle right now. Yeah, by the way, Australia, the country that if you're not vaccinated, we'll round you up and put you in these camps as well, to make sure that you're being watched like a hawk in Australia. Australia also the place where, you know, we've had friends who they had a child about two and a half years ago, and we're not even able to see their parents. Their parents from the United States wanted to fly, so the grandparents weren't able to even meet their new grandchild, like 2.5 years in Australia. I just think it's unbelievable. Basically the Australian government, the way that you're treating one of the country's biggest stars. So Serbia is not happy about this. And it's really one of the, I think, a continuing problem. You have someone who's at the peak physical condition is Djokovic, right? Arguably, I mean, he's the number one tennis player in the world. Do you get in better shape, physical shape, than being the number one tennis player in the world?
Probably not much better.
And so he does not want to hurt his physical performance by having a foreign substance injected into him. At the same time, he has a medical exemption because he has concerns over inflammation and other things in his body. Again, he has had a bad reaction to certain gluten and other things like that. So he's gone on celiac and other things he's got taken out of his diet over the years, so he doesn't have those types of reactions. Does he want something in his body that's going to inflame his body? What then counts as a medical exemption? And why does Australia get to pick and choose what they deem is medically sufficient? Like, are they? I know your doctor said it's a medical exemption, but we're just going to ignore that. We don't care what you think. We're going to be political about this, and they're using him as a political football. I mean, they're using him as they're trying to make an example of him is what they're doing. No other reason.
Yeah, just like they did the NBA players, just like they did the what's that other guy that's now making his rounds on podcasts. I think he's a baseball player.
Was it
very, very popular guy? I can't remember if he's basketball or baseball.
You're not talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
yes.
Football. Close.
Okay. Yeah, close.
Green Bay Packers quarterback.
There was a ball in there somewhere, I knew.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, and he look. You could be critical of Djokovic and say, look, he's had some non-traditional views of science. He said that prayer and prayer and belief could actually purify toxic water. Some people would say that's kind of crazy. Okay, that's what he believes. That's what he said in the past. He said on multiple occasions that he's in opposition to vaccine mandates, saying that a vaccination is a private and personal decision. And he didn't,
it's no worse than the 6 feet thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's based in nothing. The masks, you know, scientifically have been proven not to really help. And where did the 6 feet come from? It's all arbitrary. It's all theater. And so, you know, that's basically the same thing they're saying. So at the end of the day, you know, just like Joe Rogan says, if you're healthy, you really shouldn't need to worry about all this. Even if you're not like I don't consider myself very healthy, and I had it came and went, and it was rough for a day or two, but it came and went. I was totally fine, and I'm a little bit overweight, and I think that, you know, it's affected people, like overweight people the worst, with comorbidities, and elderly people. Like the majority of people that have passed away from this were 80 plus years old, the majority of people. So
I just want to know, like, what falls under a medical exemption? Because according to, again, I come back to the facts on this, there were a handful granted medical exemptions for this tournament. And they're not telling us, according to the reports, they're not telling us, like, why they chose certain people were exempt and others weren't. Australian health officials said late last year that a recent infection would not necessarily be enough to gain entry. So even if you had COVID and you were then had natural immunity, they still would want you to get a vaccine to come into the country.
Well, and there's a lot. There's Peter McCullough says that's actually dangerous, getting it after you've had COVID.
Yeah, I worried about my father-in-law. He had just gotten COVID, and then he just got a booster. Like, what are you doing, man? I don't get it. Like, what are you doing? You just had COVID. You know,
but
now
that's
you're
the thing. That the media and the government have us all so scared that that's what we have to do. And you have the media now with this story of super immunity. If you've already had COVID, you better still get your vaccine because that's the way you get super immunity. And they're showing like a Superman with a cape and all this other stuff. It's propaganda. It goes against what all of the experts are saying.
Well, again, I come back to what. So China and Australia have been going towards this zero COVID policy, right? And if you don't want to get vaccinated in Australia, we'll throw you in a camp. You know, and you can say I've called them concentration camps or internment camps, not concentration camps, but internment camps. And that's what they are. You're being held against your will in a camp. It's not my home. It's, you know, you're taking my personal freedoms away because I don't want to get vaccinated in Australia. So you're putting me in an internment camp. They're going for zero COVID. Well, now they have 30,000 cases a day in Australia. So how are you going to get to zero COVID? It's not going to happen. It's an impossibility, just like China. So do you want to get to China where they send their kids to school now in hazmat suits? Like, this is what China is now. Like, that's the future? Like, to get to zero COVID? Like, that's what you want to do? Okay. It's not going to happen, but Australia and China are on the same path on this zero COVID idea. And it's just, you know, it's not going to happen.
Sam says, if they fed me and did my laundry, I'd go to a COVID camp.
Fed me and that's called prison.
Yeah. Just commit a crime. That's prison. You're good. Yeah. Commit a crime. They'll throw you in a place. They do that for you.
Yeah. You'll have all your stuff taken care of then, you know. Any super chats today before we wrap things up?
Yes. Let me go over here.
By the way, while you're doing that, I should mention that, you know, YouTube shows us that thousands of you watch every day and only 30% of you are subscribed to the channel. What gives? We do this show every day for free. And so subscribe to the channel if we bring you any value at all. And we do this show every day, not live at 9 a.m. Eastern time here on the show on YouTube and Twitch and on Facebook and Twitter. So please hit that subscribe button. It's very easy to do and it's free. You don't get, there's nothing you have to, pay anything.
Share, like, all that stuff. All of the little metrics to share, like, subscribe. Yeah, it's so easy. Yeah. It's like you roll your, just slide your mouse over. There's a little arrow that you see on your screen when you move your mouse. It moves with your movements. And then there's a button on the left of that mouse. If you hover over that button and you just push that left mouse button, boom.
He's speaking the truth.
Yeah.
He's speaking the truth about how easy it is.
Okay, Dolan's Bar, thank you for your hard work. Great content every day.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us every day. We wouldn't do this show if you weren't here.
Tony Joslin, David, let us know the name of those vitamins when you get time. Thanks. Love the show. I'll bring those up tomorrow, and so tune in tomorrow, and I'll tell you guys the name of those vitamins. Russell Tyree, no booster for me. I have a migraine daily after 2. I think we already read that one.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. I get migraines sometimes, and I would not wish that on my worst enemy.
Yeah.
Tina Topping, and I just want God to remember, both with super stickers. Thank you. Ed, David, why do you sound like attack on our democracy and Constitution is not a big deal? Hang Mike Pence, not a big deal. I'm not saying that's not a big deal. I'm talking about the stuff surrounding it that doesn't make sense. It's like we're all attacking something like I was having a conversation with somebody who's like, well, there's like 6 people died, but only 1 person died inside.
And Ashley, yes, Babbitt.
And there were some people, the 2 officers that committed suicide. But it's like I equate that to, you know, like a police officer. They have a job that is a rough job. And that's part of the job is defending, like they took that job. So I honestly can't personally blame what happened on that incident is because, like, you know, just like there's police officers that do a job like that every day as well. And they go home and they have to deal with what they did in their job and sometimes take their life. There's military people. So we can't really, like, blame that. And the other people that died were 2 people had heart attacks that were back in the peaceful side. And it had nothing to do with it at all. And then the 1 officer that everybody was told got hit with the fire extinguisher and all that turned out to be not true. And yes, maybe the stress of the day added to it. But at the end of the day, the medical examiner said that it was not related. You believe what you want. But like everybody thinks that all of this stuff happened because the media inflates this or conflates this data and tells us things that aren't true. And then we go out and we're fighting people over it when we don't really know what happened. There's videos that, you know, a lot of like YouTube has scrubbed a lot of videos from the internet that show other things. If you want to see that stuff, like go to rumble.com and search January 6th and you'll see more videos about like things, angles that you didn't see on the mainstream media, angles that you don't see on YouTube because they scrub it. Google scrubs it as well. So you just have to be willing to go down rabbit holes outside of the mainstream. And that's not, forget,
yeah,
YouTube and Google are the mainstream now. You have to remember that.
Yeah, that is true. Sadly. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, there's more viewers on YouTube than there is the mainstream networks. So that's absolutely true. Yeah.
Ilhan Demir with a super sticker. Thank you. And then Brizzy 864. Let's see all the millionaires give everyone $1,000 checks. It will not hurt them.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
That's it. Those are all the super chats.
Oh, I saw a few just come in a second ago. So I just.
Oh, did you?
Oh, I see Grim sent a $5 super chat.
Because I just want to make David read this. Bye, chat. And then we had another one come in from
Rafaela.
Yeah, Tarasena. Love this chat. The best time of my day.
Thank you. And this is the best time of my day as well when I get to do this show. Thank you guys so much for subscribing to the channel, joining us here every day. We really, really appreciate it. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. We have our daily newsletter, of course. We publish first thing in the morning, Monday through Friday. It is at morninginvest.com. It's the place to go and subscribe. The website is morninginvest.com. Just put in your email address. You'll receive a welcome email from me, Clayton, and we'll welcome you to the newsletter. And it goes out every morning around 6:30 to 7 a.m. is when it should hit your inbox, where we cover some of the big stories of the day and provide a little bit of humor, we hope, to start your morning. And you can read it in about 5 to 10 minutes. It doesn't take you long to do that as well. Someone was saying, where's Natalie today? Oh, if you missed the beginning of the show, Natalie's off today because we have a 9-year-old who is sick. And it's causing a lot of stress. We're home. The 3 kids are virtual schooling right now for this week. So that plus our 9-year-old is sick and she's been stomach bug and it's really disaster. You know, so Natalie's been dealing with her every 5 seconds when she tries to sit down. It's mommy, can you help me with this? So that's where she is right now.
And then are we doing pet photos tomorrow? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, we'll do pet photos tomorrow. So if you've got pet photos, we always share your pet photos on Fridays. We've been off because of New Year's. So if you have pets and you want to share them here on the show, we'd like to show off your pet photos. Just email them. You have to just email them to that email address that's on your screen right now, which is pets@morninginvest.com. Pets@morninginvest.com. And by the way, Thorneil Robinson just sent a $2 super chat and says, I dare everyone to smash that like button right now. Yes, we have 1,000 likes. It's a dare. Can you guys all smash that like button and get it up to 3,000 likes? Can you do it?
What I want to know, Thorneil, is it a triple dog dare?
Triple dog dare.
Triple dog dare? Or just a regular dare?
I think it's a triple dog dare. All right, guys. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. We will be back here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Until then, be safe. Be good to everyone. And peace, everyone. And don't let your kids go to school like this.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.